All right, since the reopening borders of Singapore and has been welcoming a lot of visitors, not only from Malaysia, but globally, and with whole new experience of leisure and also business travellers as well. And if you look between January to July this year, we can see the differences of number in the visitors that comes into Singapore.
Yeah.
That quite a positive growth, I would say.
Yeah.
So maybe we want to know more about the reality of how COVID-19 outbreak, pandemic, and also how it affected the Singapore tourism as a whole. And to joining me today is Mr. Keith Tan, Singapore Tourism Board Chief Executive. Welcome to Ashrawani. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I'm so happy to be back here in KL after a period of more than 2 over years.
Mm-hmm. That's nice to have you here. All right, so maybe you can share with us, how has COVID impacted Singapore's tourism as a whole, and how the industry itself for the couple of years?
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know how terrible the effect of COVID was on all of our businesses, worldwide. Right? All over the world. And Singapore was no exception.
Correct.
So our visitor numbers, which hit an all-time high record of 19 million visitors in 2019, it plummeted, you know, to hardly anything, in 2020 and 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if we were hit very badly, our tourism industry was hit very badly as well. We lost a lot of workers. We lost about 30% of our manpower during the last 2 years of COVID. So now we are in a stage of recovery and reopening. During COVID, we had spent a lot of time thinking about how we would position Singapore for a strong recovery. And so we put in a lot of effort at preserving jobs, preserving key capabilities in the tourism industry. And also we experimented with a whole range of ideas, how to have safe business events,
mm-hmm.
how to have safe business exhibitions,
yeah.
how to have safe crews.
Mm-hmm.
We started crews in November 2020, mm-hmm. very early on. And some of these ideas work very well for us, like crews. How to have safe attractions as well, you know, how to reopen our attractions and tours and to have more staycations in Singapore safely.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried all of that, and that has helped us to preserve jobs, keep capabilities, and indeed create new ideas for recovery now that we are able to welcome visitors from into Singapore again.
Mm-hmm. Based on our observation, right, which sector or which industry affected the most?
All of them were equally affected, you know, when
mm-hmm.
when the visitors don't come to Singapore, obviously airline, airport, hotel, transport,
mm-hmm.
Attractions, everybody was equally badly affected.
Mm-hmm.
What we did to support the industry was to promote and push hard on domestic tourism. Now, Singapore is
mm-hmm.
a very small place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think what sort of domestic tourism can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we were surprised, honestly, by the response of our locals to our domestic tourism campaign. We had a Singapore Rediscovers campaign to incentivize locals to stay at our hotels, to go to our attractions. But the one sector that really benefited from this were tour operators. These are tour operators who operate, in the past they do walking tours of Chinatown, walking tours of our civic district downtown, and they had to create a lot more new experiences and new tours for locals, for Singaporeans. And they really benefited from this. So I myself went on some of these tours to experience and learn more about Chinatown, learn more about some of the other neighborhoods in Singapore. And then we get to taste food along the way, make things along the way. I learned to make chili crab from scratch. And Singaporeans really enjoy this. And so the tour operators benefited a lot from our domestic tourism campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is that now these tour operators have created new ideas, new experiences, new products that we think are very suitable for the foreign tourists coming back to Singapore.
That's nice. We get to know about our local cultures,
exactly.
food and everything more than before, right?
Yeah.
All right, but that's for domestic campaigns.
Yeah.
How about internationals?
Yeah.
Because we understand there's another campaign that's called Singapore
Reimagine.
Reimagine,
yes.
Correct. So maybe you can share more about that.
Yeah. The whole point is that we knew early on in the pandemic that we should not just come out of this pandemic as if nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We want to show the world that Singapore has learned the lessons of this pandemic and that we are ready for the next wave, because there will be future pandemics, future crises. And we have also understood what is it that tourists and visitors are looking out for? Because the expectations and mindsets have also changed. Mm-hmm. So, for example, visitors are now more conscious of health and safety and wellness, for example. Yeah. Early on in the pandemic, we all learned to appreciate having more sustainable travel, because you know many cities around the world with no tourism, the skies cleared and there was no pollution and so on, right? So there's a lot more emphasis on sustainability as well. Mm-hmm. So part of the main thrust of our Singapore Reimagine campaign is to show the world that we have learned what it takes to change, right? Mm-hmm. We need to reimagine what tourism can look like, starting in Singapore, how tourism can be a lot more focused on wellness of our visitors, how tourism can be a lot more focused on sustainability for the future. So that's the main heart of our Singapore Reimagine campaign. And we are working very hard with our tourism stakeholders, the enterprises and attractions in Singapore, to push them. How can you reimagine yourself? How can you pay more attention to wellness, to sustainability, so that you show the visitors that you have changed, that you have reimagined yourself for the future.
So that's why it's called Singapore Reimagined.
Exactly.
Okay, but I understand there's another two pillars that Singapore Reimagined is focusing on, which is food and dining as well. Another one which I couldn't remember. There's four pillars that I read just now.
Yeah.
There's sustainability,
yes,
wellness, food and dining, and one more is
business.
Business, correct.
Yes,
All right, so how was how is the performance like in terms of tourism after you initiated this campaigns, domestic and also internationally?
Yeah. Well, in terms of international visitor arrivals to Singapore, this year has seen a very encouraging reopening. Right. We estimate that for 2022, we should get between 4 to 6 million visitors, international visitors to Singapore. That's a far cry from 19 million pre-COVID, but it is a good start. It's a good reopening. Even from Malaysia, Malaysia is now our third largest source of visitors. And the most important thing I noticed was that in July 2022, we had about 61,000 visitors from Malaysia. And that's two-thirds the number that we got in July 2019.
Oh, we contributed the most.
Yeah. So compared to 2019. So I'm comparing July 2022. This year, and it's still in the pandemic, you know, we're not fully out of the pandemic yet. Compared to July 2019, pre-COVID, we're now two-thirds.
I see.
You know, so I think we're making a good way towards recovery, and which is very encouraging for us. So this year, hopefully, we will hit on the higher end of our estimate of 4 to 6 million. And I think that's a very good opening year for recovery.
All right. But I have a question. Singapore is often seen as the connecting hub by Changi, right? So how do you want to make them stay and to stay and also travel in Singapore?
Yes. So that's one of the key pillars and the key directions, objectives, in fact, for our Singapore Reimagine campaign. How do we show and change perceptions of Singapore? I know many people think of Singapore as just a stopover destination. At most, maybe just one day, one night, you know, maybe on my way back between London to Sydney, I spend one night in Singapore, stopover destination.
Yes.
Now, through our Singapore Reimagine campaign, we want to show the world that Singapore has a lot more to offer. It's not just about, you know, Orchard Road and Marina Bay, but there's a lot more interesting things to see. You can spend I spent 4 days in Sentosa on a holiday there with my family, and I never left the island, you know, because there's so much to do in Sentosa. And you can complement that with 4 nights also in Orchard Road or Marina Bay. That's one whole week. So through our Singapore Reimagine campaign, we want to showcase a lot more of the neighbourhoods that are not so well known to visitors. We want to show that there's a wide range of activities that you can do in neighbourhoods and areas like Sentosa, Mandai, where our zoo and nature parks are, a lot more attractions there as well. Places like Chinatown, Little India, Kampong Glam, to showcase that these are areas that are well worth the time that people can take to spend a day or even 2 days to explore and rediscover what these areas are. So that's part of our key objectives for Singapore Reimagine. And I think we see some of that happening already. So the average length of stay of visitors pre-COVID, before COVID, was about 3.3 days.
Okay.
Now it's over 6 days.
Oh,
so people are spending longer, more time in Singapore, which I like, because I mean, obviously they spend more if they stay longer in Singapore, but the longer you stay in a destination, the more you understand a destination better, the more you become familiar with and you really understand the heart and soul of that country or city that you're in. And that's what we're after, you know, that people come to Singapore, they visit, and they understand who we are, they learn more about our heart and soul, and hopefully they leave Singapore with a deeper appreciation of our identity and our culture.
So instead of enjoying or appreciating the journey, the destination that we're going to, they enjoy the transit.
And with the transit, so we do have a lot of transit passengers coming through Changi Airport. That's one of the key business propositions of Changi Airport. It's a great connecting hub. But we hope to see more. We're working closely with Changi Airport. We're working closely with the airlines to find ways to entice more of these transit and transfer passengers. Even if they only have like 8 hours, 9 hours, can they spend even 3 or 4 hours, come out of Changi Airport, maybe visit Jewel at Changi Airport, or visit some of the other attractions and do a bit of eating and shopping in Singapore before they go back in.
At least, right? At least to enjoy our Asian foods.
Yeah, and that's one reason why we have we developed Jewel at Changi Airport. It's I don't know if you've been there, but it is a beautiful, world-class tourist attraction with beautiful indoor waterfall, a forest inside.
And
over what used to be just the car park of Changi Airport, you know. And this is a way to hopefully entice more of the transit and transfer passengers to come out and see and experience what we have done.
I've seen videos of that, and I think I can just enjoy the airport itself.
Exactly. It is truly spectacular. There's great F&B and shopping, but also attractions and activities there as well.
All right. Throughout this journey or trajectory towards the recovery phase of Singapore tourism, maybe you can share what are the challenges that Singapore tourism faced to reach. Maybe you have the targets, specific targets.
Well, like many other cities and tourist destinations, we are now facing a manpower crunch. Right? We lost about 30% of our manpower in the tourism sector over the last 2 years of COVID. And now we are finding that we need to find ways to recruit them back. Airports face the same problem. Airlines face the same problem as well. So we are now competing for people to come back into our sector. So that's one of our most serious, significant challenges that we're facing now. We've made some progress in helping our hotels get back some of their workers, especially those who are not from Singapore but foreign workers. They're now hiring actively from around the region to supplement our local workforce in hotels. We need that because hotels ultimately are quite labor intensive. You need people to, you know, do housekeeping, people in F&B, people for security and so on. And so if the hotels don't have the manpower, they can't open. They won't be able to open the rooms and earn money, right? And now there's a lot of demand for hotels in Singapore because people are coming back. So manpower is our number one short-term consideration. Over the longer term, the bigger challenges that we're facing, of course, is how do I differentiate Singapore from other cities in the region, right? Everybody is going to be opening up and trying to compete for visitors. And that's natural. I welcome that. You know, it's important that we see ourselves as a region of very interesting destinations. But then, of course, then how do I differentiate Singapore from KL, from Bangkok, from Hong Kong?
The neighboring countries.
And actually not just differentiate, but then also find ways to connect and complement each other. Because I feel there's so much potential for Singapore and Malaysia, for Southeast Asia to do together. There's so much richness in diversity, culture, history, food, natural attractions in Southeast Asia, which remain underappreciated by European visitors, by Australian visitors, by American visitors. All they think of is Phuket, Bali, you know, right? So we can, I think there's a lot more that they can do here in Southeast Asia. And that's what one of my hopes is, to work closely with my counterparts and friends in Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, to see what we can do to jointly promote Southeast Asia as a destination.
And we know that Malaysia and Singapore, we share a lot of cultures, same cultures, not just cultures, but food, and maybe the language that we speak with Malays and Singapore, right? So mentioning about the difference just now, so can you share, in your opinion, the difference, how to differentiate Singapore and Malaysia if I were to explain to the tourist.
Yeah. So I would say there are two main strategies that we pursue to differentiate ourselves. Number one, we want to constantly make sure that what we have in Singapore, we are constantly refreshing. So existing tourism neighborhoods like Orchard Road, Chinatown, Kampong Glam, even Sentosa, we always work hard with them and our private sector partners to refresh and rejuvenate the offerings there. So you will see new hotels or refreshed hotels in Orchard Road. If you come to Singapore, in the past, people always look at the Mandarin Hotel in Orchard Road. No more. It's a new hotel. The Hilton is the flagship Hilton Hotel in Singapore is there. And it's a brand new hotel, right? New product. So it's a refreshed product. Sentosa, you know, people think of Sentosa, the same attractions. If you keep thinking of it as the same old attractions, then why would you go? So Sentosa has also made a big effort at refreshing its attractions, making sure that there are new things, and even for the older attractions, make sure that you every few years we refresh them to make them new again, new ideas, new themes, you know, for the attractions.
Or maybe
there.
Different approach.
Correct. Yeah. So that's one big strategy where we try to keep on making sure that we constantly refresh or introduce new concepts to Singapore as a way of differentiating ourselves. The other way that we differentiate ourselves is making sure that we have a very rich calendar of events, whether it's sports or lifestyle, concerts, exhibitions, business events, conferences. So long as we have a very rich calendar of events, which don't they come to Singapore, they don't really go elsewhere, then that makes it different for us for others as well. So Formula One, for example.
I envy that.
Yeah.
Because many popular you know, artists, celebrities prefer to do showcases or perform at Singapore instead of Malaysia, as if we don't exist. But maybe that's why that's the success of Singapore tourism initiatives.
Yeah. Well, I know Malaysia has a good slate of concerts and events as well. But the concerts was a whole range, you know. Malaysia has great jazz concerts, by the way, jazz festival. So having a big range of activities and events that appeal to different types of people, you know. So you have jazz concerts, you have F1, you have the big pop stars, K-pop groups coming, you know. But also then you have very interesting exhibitions at our art museums. We have a wonderful batik exhibition going on now at the Asian Civilizations Museum. So having a range of these different events, I think make a destination different and make people want to visit the destination again and again.
All right, we're going to go for a short break. We're going to have a more delightful explanation and more discussions with Mr. Keith after the break. Alright, Mr. Keith. Okay, just now you mentioned about ESG sentiment initiatives and also about wellness to implement in the new plans of tourism, Singapore tourism in the future. So maybe you can explain more about that. What are the activities or maybe what are you trying to, what are the sentiments that you added in the plans?
So sustainability is one of the major strategic thrusts for us. We know we have to do it.
Correct.
It is important for our industry, important for our country and for our planet. So in Singapore, we have a national plan called the Singapore Green Plan that cuts across every sector of the economy, including tourism. So then within tourism, I must see how can I contribute to this Singapore Green Plan. So for us, we work with specific sectors like hotels. We have already introduced, together with the hotels, we've introduced a hotel sustainability roadmap, clear targets, ambitions by 2030, 2040, 2050, what they need to do to reduce their carbon footprint, to reduce their waste, to reduce their energy consumption and water consumption so that they can become the world's most sustainable hotels. We are doing that with them. We are also working with our events. So for example, even Formula One. We would like Formula One to be one of the most, the Formula One race in Singapore to be one of the most sustainable races for Formula One anywhere around the world and for all the other events as well. Because we know that this is going to be increasingly important for the consumer. They will pay attention to where the sustainable events are, where the sustainable hotels are. Mm-hmm. And the key thing that we're doing here in, for us, for STB, is to make sure that we find the right platforms to we bring together the companies with the solutions and the ideas. Mm-hmm. There are many companies with great sustainability solutions, mm-hmm. great sustainability ideas. Many of them are startups and SMEs,
correct.
But they have great ideas and great products. How do I help them to meet the hotels and the event organizers mm-hmm. who they don't have the solutions, they have the problems. So one of STB's role is to be a marketplace. We provide the marketplace where the people with the solutions are able to pitch the solutions to the people who have the problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for sustainability, finding innovations and test beds for sustainability. For wellness, wellness is not so easy because, you know, Singapore is not like, you know, a Bali, you associate
yes.
Bali, Koh Samui mm-hmm. as a spa destination. We are not, and we don't aspire to be a spa destination, mm-hmm. right? What we can be is we are a city, but we are a city with easy access to a wide range of wellness facilities and experiences that take care of you, the traveler. Mm-hmm. So when the traveler comes, whether you're business or family or leisure, you know, mm-hmm. you're tired, you're jet-lagged, you're mm-hmm. stressed. How can Singapore be a city that gives you easy access mm-hmm. to a whole range of experiences that help you feel better, eat better, exercise better, sleep better? All that is your is overall wellness. So it's not just about spa. It's mm-hmm. your overall wellness of you as a traveler. And so we're working with our hotels, we're working with our parks, our tour operators, to make sure there's a wide range of activities available to help promote wellness for our traveler. So we call this our urban wellness haven. We are a city, a haven, with easy access to wellness facilities, wellness experiences.
Hmm. Actually, you mentioned a lot about hotels. So you are you focusing on to build a sustainability hotel, more of sustainable hotels in the future? Hmm. Or
it's
what's your plan?
Vital, right? Mm-hmm. Our hotels know. Mm-hmm. In fact, they don't even need us to tell them.
Okay.
They know that they must become a lot more sustainable.
I see.
They know that they need to reduce their carbon footprint, the energy consumption. So they're doing lots of things already, including growing their own food. You know, they use their spaces to plant their own gardens. Some of the
mm-hmm.
our more famous hotels have beautiful vertical gardens, lots of greenery to replace the trees that they may have been cut down when they were built. So lots of greenery in hotels like our Park Royal hotels in Singapore are very, very famous for their greenery to reduce their carbon footprint and to contribute more to greenery in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Other hotels are investing lots of efforts at reducing waste. So many hotels also, they have buffet, mm-hmm. they have F&B. All this creates lots of waste, food wastage as well. So now they're thinking, instead of just throwing away the food, which is terrible, can they recycle the food back into fertilizer, for example, compost mm-hmm. for farms, their own farms in Singapore. So the Grand Hyatt in Singapore has a very interesting, innovative technology where they take all the food waste from mm-hmm. the restaurants, and within 24 hours, it becomes water and fertilizer for their farm. They have big farms where they grow the herbs and fruits for their restaurants.
Oh, that's something new.
Yeah,
that
so
I
that's
learned
a
today.
Circular thing. So they don't contribute to any more wastage, and it goes back into their farms to help. And then they grow the fruits and the herbs that they use in the kitchen.
Basically, they actually implement the recycling methods.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So our hotels know that they have to do all this because their shareholders will want it, their consumers will want it. They need to show themselves to be a lot more sustainable.
Because mm-hmm. we have to agree that hotels contribute the most in terms of food wastage.
Mm,
A lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and
the
so then how do they make it better so that they don't mm-hmm. have so much food wastage or water wastage?
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, all this depends on technology. So they need to invest mm-hmm. in technology to help them reduce food wastage. They need to invest in technology to help them reduce their energy consumption. And that requires innovation. It requires mm-hmm. companies to give them the ideas.
Mm-hmm. How about public transportations or any kind of transportations in Singapore?
Mm.
How do you manage or how do you prepare the transportation industry for the tourists that's coming?
Mm.
You know, it's a huge number.
Yeah,
so how
yeah,
do you prepare
yeah,
for that?
Yeah. Well, pre-COVID, our public transport system was already coping with large numbers of visitors. So now, as we ease back into a recovery phase, I mean, in fact, I'm literally talking to some of my colleagues who are overseeing the public transport system at SMRT and so on, to make sure that the visitor experience is easy. When we go to, when tourists go to a city, a new city, they expect, one of the big problems that come up is the difficulty of using public transport. Do I know how to get from point A to point B? Yeah. How do I get from my hotel to the zoo? How do I get from my hotel to this other attraction, right? And so we want to make sure that the entire visitor experience is easy. How to make it easy, whether it's using digital tools on their phone or their tablets, to say, oh, if I want to go from my hotel to the zoo, this is the route you take. This is the bus you take. This is the train that you take. We want to make it very easy for the travelers to figure that out, because most Singaporeans use public transport. We don't use cars, right? And we have a world-class public transport system. So I would like our visitors to also experience our MRT and our bus system, and how easy it is, because that also contributes to reducing our carbon footprint as a country.
That's very interesting to know. Yeah. Okay, like I mentioned just now, in Malaysia, the halal economy is going so big. Like just now, we have an event going on right now called MIHAS that promotes halal, halal products, not just in food, but also cosmetics and also, shower products. So I don't know how is it like in Singapore, and maybe you can share the condition and halal of economy in Singapore.
Well, Singapore has been recognized internationally as the most Muslim-friendly tourism destination outside the OIC, right? So that's partly because we also have a significant Muslim population. So it's not difficult to find halal food, halal restaurants. It's not difficult to find prayer rooms. Many of our hotels also have the Qibla, so they help provide the guidance to Muslim travelers. So there's a certain base level which appeals to all Muslim travelers already. You know, we do well in Singapore simply because we are multicultural and we understand the requirements and the needs of Muslim travelers, right? But now, beyond that, right, what else can we do to appeal to Muslim travelers from Southeast Asia or the Middle East? Well, I think we are working hard at growing the range of interesting halal food options. Right? We just finished hosting Food and Hotel Asia, which is Southeast Asia's largest food business convention. It's a business-to-business exhibition trade fair. And there's a very large section on halal food, right? Different food manufacturers are showcasing interesting developments and innovations for halal food. So it's to expand the range of halal food possibilities out there, including the new plant-based foods, you know, which is also a big area of innovation. It's big.
Okay.
It's growing in Singapore, you know, impossible meats and all these things, because that's important for the future, right? So now we are thinking, how do we bring this all together to show innovations for halal food, innovations for halal that will appeal to Muslim visitors? So that's one of our key directions. But I think the other two ways, which are not so much specific to halal, but would appeal to Muslim travelers, is number one, we are safe, right? So because Singapore has a reputation for safety, you know, young Muslim women who want to come and travel, because we notice that young Muslim women from Indonesia, for example, they want to travel, right? They travel by themselves or they travel with their girlfriends. Singapore is a great place for them to come. They can have a meal late at night. They can have drinks. They go out and have fun. And they can walk back to the hotel at 2 a.m. safely, right? So that's one other angle that we're pursuing. A safe place for people, for families. And of course, the other thing that we pursue is that we are a family-friendly destination, which would appeal to many Muslim families with families, Universal Studios, right? So this appeals to all people regardless of religion, but I think would help us to also attract Muslim travelers to Singapore.
I like that. I like that safety, because not many places have that security that they can guarantee towards the tourists. because that's one of the most important things that we
Absolutely.
Consider when we go yeah. traveling, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but one more thing. Singapore, we can't deny that Singapore is one of the most expensive city to live in the world. So what's your take on that? And as we know, the world is going through quite serious inflation globally.
Mm.
So how do you still promote to the tourists that you can still visit Singapore?
Yeah.
Despite the what's going on in the common economy right now.
Well, Singapore has never pretended to be a low-cost destination, right? So we cannot intervene in the market to lower prices, right? That's not our role, and we can't do that anyway, right? And as I said, we've never put ourselves there as a low-cost destination for business or leisure. What we then do is to say that, first of all, we have a range of options at different price points.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, for example, you can have a great meal in Singapore for $500 a person, but also for $50 a person, and even for $5 a person. You can have that in Singapore, you know? And that's exactly our point. We have different price points that will meet those who are luxury travel to those who may travel with a bit more budget constraint. Different options available. We have tourism attractions that are ticketed at a high price, and they also have free to access tourism attractions as well. For example, parts of Gardens by the Bay, our Botanic Gardens are free access, so people can go there and have a great time in those attractions as well. Right? And even at some of these attractions, you can pay even more to have personal tours, private tours. So again, a range of experiences at different price points. So that's one of our anchor points. But I think ultimately, what we hope people can understand is that we want to make sure that whatever price point we have, whether expensive hotel or expensive restaurant or even the events, right, that we provide value. For example, some of the events that happen in Singapore, they're priced quite high, you know, like F1.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an event that you can get nowhere else in the world. It's an experience that you can't buy elsewhere. So it's worth the money. So that's also what we try to do, to create value. Even though something may be expensive, we want to make sure that there is value, that people see that there's value in that experience. There's value in paying a bit more for that hotel in Singapore.
Indeed, experience value is more important and more brings you more memory than the value of money.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Mr. Keith, before we end this session, can you share what is STB's outlook and future plans for Singapore tourism and also the tourism landscape in the coming years?
Yeah. Well, it's still a bit murky. We are not fully out of the woods from the pandemic, and now we are facing possible recession, inflationary pressures, war elsewhere around the world, macroeconomic uncertainty. So it's very hard for us to predict how next year will look like.
Mm-hmm.
But we believe that, you know, tourism remains on the uptrend. People want to travel, you know, after 2 years cooped up by COVID, people want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
The fundamental desire to see the world, to experience new things, to see new places, remains very deep in all of our hearts. You know, no recession or war can change that. So I'm optimistic about the mid to long-term prospects of tourism. We believe that, at least for Singapore, tourism can recover to its pre-COVID levels by the mid-2020s, 2024, 2025, depending. So that remains our longer-term forecast. And we will rebuild tourism towards that. We are already invested. There will be new hotels opening, new attractions opening every year from now till 2030. So we look forward to that.
That's nice. That is all for today's session. Thank you so much, Mr. Keith Tan, for coming all the way from Singapore on your work trip. For sure, I'll be visiting Singapore soon, I hope.
Wonderful.
Alright, so don't forget to watch Notepad every weekday, 10:30 p.m. Also watch our siblings show, Niaga Awani, every weekday, 9 a.m. with me, Nabila Khalida, and other colleagues. Thank you so much.